It's totally out of control. We need to close down in Florida. We've asked the governor to do that.
Officials look at new coronavirus measures. It's Tuesday, July 21st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson. You'll find us as well on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, two very different approaches in the race for the White House, slimy sleuthing for virus data, and helping to cope amid the pandemic. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Coronavirus infections and deaths continue to mount in the United States, and that's prompting officials to take actions they once resisted. Marcus Harton joins us to tell us more.
Police in Miami Beach, Florida, enforced a new curfew Saturday night.
We're hoping that by closing earlier, it actually tones down the party and it'll allow these folks to go home, go back to their hotels, wherever they're staying, and possibly keep everyone else around them, everyone else in our city, safe.
Representative Donna Shalala, who represents Miami Beach in Congress, is calling for even tougher action to stop the spread.
And it's totally out of control. We need to close down in Florida. We've asked the governor to do that, and we've even asked him to do the simplest thing, and that is to require masks for everyone. He has not done that.
Climbing case numbers have forced other governors who once resisted mask mandates to put them in place.
We did take the further step of instituting a statewide mask mandate. Not something I wanted to do, but it's something everybody can do to relieve the pressure on our hospitals to give us a hope to bring down those cases.
President Donald Trump says he's not ordering mask wearing nationwide. In an exclusive interview on Fox News Sunday, he cited contradictory advice on masks issued during the early days of the pandemic.
Everybody was saying don't wear a mask. All of a sudden, everybody's got to wear a mask. And as you know, masks cause problems, too. With that being said, I'm a believer in masks. I think masks are good. But I leave it up to the governors.
To deal with the economic consequences of the virus, Congress is expected this week to work on another coronavirus stimulus package. Lawmakers are under pressure to act quickly because their August recess is approaching. Marcus Harton, VOA News, Washington.
There's much more on this and other stories that you hear on VOA Asia. All you have to do is follow our Twitter stream at VOA Asia to find out more. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia, also the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. UK ratchets up criticism of China over Uyghurs and Hong Kong. Prominent Hong Kong democracy activist files candidacy for legislature. U.S. Taliban urge Afghan leaders to complete prisoner swap. Did China block Vietnam offshore oil contract? The unlikely story of the first made-in-Vietnam ventilators to fight COVID-19. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you make a visit to Facebook at VOA Asia and stop by our voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson. With the coronavirus pandemic hampering rally plans, the Trump campaign has gone on the offensive with massive ad spending and using White House events as opportunities to deliver his re-election bid message. Meanwhile, his presumptive Democratic opponent, Joe Biden, is sticking to a less-is-more approach, limiting travel and news conferences. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Sawara takes a look at the different strategies between the campaigns.
The radical left-wing mob's agenda? Take over our cities, defund the police, pressure more towns to follow, and Joe Biden stands with them.
President Donald Trump's campaign ads show a candidate on the offensive with a negative message attacking his opponent.
Innocent children fatally shot.
With campaign rallies postponed due to the pandemic, Trump is relying on ads and presidential events to press his opponent, Democratic presumptive nominee Joe Biden, who is ahead in most public opinion polling. In Tuesday's China policy announcement at the White House,
Biden sides with China over America time and time again.
And at Wednesday's infrastructure event in Atlanta,
Biden is happy to tie up projects in red tape, and we want to get things built.
Like Trump, past incumbents have employed what's known as the Rose Garden strategy, using presidential events at the White House to highlight achievements in an election year.
But if you use an event like that, or you use a press conference that's supposed to be about an official announcement about Hong Kong, and instead take 90% of the time to attack your political opponent, that's not the way things have been done in the past by previous presidents.
Well, I couldn't come to Scranton without coming by the old house.
Meanwhile, Biden is taking a less is more approach, limiting campaign travel and news conferences.
Limiting Biden's exposure, but also allowing Trump to have the main news coverage has actually been very effective because Trump has not been on message and has frequently stumbled into errors and into saying things that can be used very effectively against him.
The latest Quinnipiac University poll shows Biden with a wide lead of 52% to Trump's 37%. Other polling has the race closer.
The duty to care.
This despite the Biden campaign spending much less on ads than Trump.
I promise you this, I won't traffic in fear and division. I won't fan the flames of hate.
The ads have largely emphasized the need to bring the country together in times of crisis.
I will not abandon you. We're all in this together. We'll fight this together.
Implying that Trump is failing to do so.
This stronger than we were before we began.
Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
I approve this message.
Happening now in Asia, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has lashed out at officials for construction delays on a new hospital in Pyongyang and ordered them to be fired. The troubled project may signal difficulties in securing construction materials due to U.S.-led sanctions and the coronavirus pandemic. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us on VOA Asia. For public health officials attempting to manage the spread of coronavirus, knowing how many people in a city or neighborhood are infected is key information. But challenges to widespread population testing are leading many cities to look for data under manhole covers. Yes, sewage may be essential to spotting the next outbreak. Matt Dibble has the story.
When the Grand Princess cruise ship docked in Oakland, California in early March, carrying passengers and crew infected with coronavirus, Eileen White faced a daunting task. White is the director of wastewater for the utility that serves 685,000 households in San Francisco's East Bay area.
They came into the port of Oakland with a cruise ship full of waste, and they needed to get rid of it. And so we effectively treated, you know, some of the first coronavirus sewage.
Detecting the virus in sewage is a necessary step toward effectively destroying it. Soon it became clear that detection might be useful in other ways, too.
Early on, we were approached by a number of universities. Would we want to, you know, help be part of the process and trying to figure out how sewage could be a useful tool as an early indicator of the presence of coronavirus in the community versus waiting for people to show up in the hospital.
Patient testing on a scale necessary to control the virus has been hampered for many reasons. Not everyone is getting tested, but everyone uses the bathroom.
You're seeing in the sewage before people are really showing the symptoms days and weeks before.
White's team is collecting samples each week and sending them to multiple labs, including the Nelson Lab at the University of California, Berkeley.
We're really interested in trends of increasing or decreasing infections, and that would help guide decision-making.
But getting useful data from raw sewage also has many challenges.
There's a lot of things that make wastewater complicated, right? So it's not just poop and pee and wastewater. It's also rainwater and laundry water and things that vary with time. And so that will affect how dilute the virus is in the sample, like how much we can detect.
Wastewater epidemiologists have successfully tracked polio and Ebola, but the scale of the COVID-19 crisis is spurring an unprecedented rapid response. an international alliance of over 400 researchers, is collaborating weekly on methods and standards. Massachusetts-based BioBot Analytics currently analyzes wastewater samples from 41 states in the U.S. using machine learning.
Wastewater data that you measure today is giving you an early warning indication of how many new COVID-19 cases you will see in that community about 7 days out.
This is because in the first few days of infection, people often have no symptoms and are not getting tested, but are still shedding the virus when they use the bathroom.
Wastewater gives you that window of opportunity.
Detecting outbreaks earlier can help health officials distribute resources and save lives.
The amount of value that people suddenly see in wastewater, I think, is refreshing to realize that it is this catchment of all of society and that we have a way of tracking important diseases. And I think it'll probably be used going well into the future as well.
The Nelson Lab at Berkeley plans to monitor sewage on their own campus this fall to support the university's safe reopening. For VOA News, Matt Dibble, Berkeley, California.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Australia is looking at the popular Chinese-owned social media platform TikTok for any risks it may pose to users from around potential foreign interference and data privacy issues. The U.S. is also looking at TikTok for possible national security risks. You'll find all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, people across the globe are feeling the stress and anxiety that comes with a pandemic, and many people are channeling that energy into helping others. VOA's Mohammed Ahmadi has more.
While having to work from his home in South Reading, Virginia, just 40 miles west of Washington, D.C., Jeff Shee and his family decided to help others outside his work hours. She is sorting out these shopping bags, each filled with 100 KN95 face masks for shipment to hospitals and medical facilities around the country.
We have a shipment going to New York, and that shipment is about 133 masks to a cardiologist hospital, cardiology division. We have going to North Carolina. We have going to San Antonio.
She initiated a fundraising page on Facebook, setting a goal to buy 100 masks for donations. An outpouring of support allowed him to buy 4,000 masks. She had to ask his friends for help distributing the masks.
Resources are so scarce, but we are trying to put together a big order, and we need more help from the community, from federal government, from the state. If we can get state fund or FEMA fund, then we can go out there and buy N95 masks and KN95 masks in massive order. We have cancer patient needs it. We have nursing home needs it. We have first responders, sheriff's office, everybody needs it.
In a nearby department store, Shukofa Khan and Tahsin are in a fabric aisle to buy material to make face masks. They make face masks at home and donate them to healthcare workers.
I feel so good. This is the best, I can do something for someone.
I think we're helping our community.
We're helping each other,
I think, yes. Right? That's the most important thing, especially in this crisis. Yes. Whatever little we can do, we should all do it.
People dealing with trying times by helping frontline workers battle the pandemic. Mohammed Ahmadi, VOA News, South Reading, Virginia.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. We're also on Twitter by that same name. And you can find us on Instagram. See us on YouTube. And as always, our full-length programs can be found at voanews.com. You can listen to them or stream them and take them with you. Either way, we thank you for joining us. And we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Pulpy Boone. I'm Jim Stevenson. Have a great day. Be safe. Be well.